Clodagh, you're welcome back to the Late Debate with Cormac O'Hara standing in this week for Audrey. I'm joined this evening by Susan O'Keefe, a Labour Senator, John Mooney, Security Correspondent with the Sunday Times, Padraig McLoughlin, Sinn Féin Spokesman on Justice, Equality and Defence, and Brian Sherry, former Detective Inspector in An Garda Síochána. You can contact the programme this evening by text on 51551, email latedebate@rte.ie, and you can follow us on Twitter at latedebate.rte. Tonight we'll analyse a high-profile resignation and continuing revelations around An Garda Síochána. Martin Callanan's sudden retirement as Garda Commissioner sent shockwaves this morning, only to be superseded by revelations that the government is to establish a commission of investigation into the taping and recording of phone calls to and from Garda stations over many years. Let's listen to exchanges in the Dáil about this this afternoon. Micheál Martin of Fianna Fáil questioned why no time was made to question the Minister for Justice today.
And I think it's absolutely extraordinary that the government has not made time available today for the Minister for Justice to come in and answer questions. The Taoiseach did ask myself and the leader of the Sinn Féin party over about 20 minutes before leaders' questions and briefed us on another emerging issue that, as I said earlier, goes to the heart of the administration of justice. It is incomprehensible, Taoiseach, that you think and the government thinks it's okay that we mark all of that by absolute silence in the House today, that there's no formal mechanism provided for the Minister for Justice to come in and answer very basic questions as to why the Commissioner is resigning right now. And any other Dáil, I've been here, the Minister would come in on the day.
And here's how the Taoiseach responded.
On Thursday, you'll have all day, and I hope you sit here, all day on the issue of the Inspector's report on penalty points, and the Minister for Justice will deal with the matter that you raised. I've already said that, but of course you never accept anybody's words.
And Taoiseach, I would put the point to you, you have not said where you stand on this. You're about the one member of the Cabinet that hasn't said where you stand on this.
Deputy, I'll suspend the sitting if you don't sit down.
Do you believe that the Minister of Justice is correct in what he's doing?
Listen to me.
Do you believe Minister Barker is correct?
I'll suspend the sitting if you don't sit down.
You have not answered any questions that I asked you, Taoiseach.
Deputy,
in 3 weeks on this
issue, I'm warning you.
You've ducked and you've dived on it. All the time.
Deputy.
And you owe it to the country and you owe it to this Dáil.
And they were the exchanges in Dáil Éireann about this today. Minister for Justice Alan Shatter is to make a statement on this in the Dáil on Thursday. Susan O'Keefe, why do we have to wait until Thursday?
I think we always have moments like this when there are really important matters and everybody wants to know answers now. Yes, and I'd like to know some answers now too. But I do appreciate that there is a lot of questions to be answered here. And there will be a lot of files that will need to be pulled together. And there will be a lot of people who will need to get information to give to the minister. Frankly, I would rather the minister came to the House on Thursday with a full briefing, with answers to all the questions, rather than coming to, you know, today or tomorrow with half the questions answered.
Surely we have an awful lot of fundamental questions that the minister could clear up quite quickly this afternoon.
Well, I don't know. You see, the dilemma you're always in, I think, is that once you start answering a question, there's usually several more questions, and you'd expect that. And certainly here, I can think of several myself. So I'm assuming, and I hope, that when the minister comes in to the Dáil on Thursday, he will be prepared to spend as long as it takes for as many people as want to ask questions, and he will give a full statement.
But is this government treating the integrity of the justice system, and it's as fundamental as that, in a laissez-faire attitude? Why, for example, are we listening to the Minister for Finance telling Primetime what he thinks might have happened? Why, with all due respect to yourself, are we talking to a Labour senator who, I'm guessing, doesn't know really what happened?
Well, I don't sit at Cabinet, obviously, and I am not the Minister for Justice, and you're right, there are questions I don't know the answers to at all, as well as the nation listening in and watching today. I don't think that you could call this laissez-faire. I do think that there are questions to be answered.
You have to wait 48 hours for the answers.
As I said, if you want the Minister to come in and answer the questions correctly and properly, and let's face it, there will be any number of criticisms, and there may well be well-placed criticisms, and there will be well-placed accusations, I'm quite sure, and some of them will be well-founded and some won't. But I would prefer that the minister came in with all his notes in his folder instead of saying, I can only answer these things now and then I'll wait. And I know what everyone else will say. He should be doing it now.
John Mooney? But
I think there's too much there. I think he needs 24 hours.
I think the government are running into major, major problems in relation to Alan Shatter and his relationship with the truth. Alan Shatter, if you look back in the past couple of months, scandals that have emerged primarily from elements of the Guards, because I always think it's very important to point out that when we're discussing these matters, it's not the Garda force as a whole. It's cliques within the Guards. It's individuals within the Guards that have serious questions to answer for. And in my opinion, you know, maybe are in positions that you should never have been in the first place for other matters. But I don't think the government kind of grasped the actual seriousness of this. And I think that's...
But is Susan O'Keefe's and Taoiseach's point in the Dáil today not reasonable? Wait until we have...
No, for the simple reason is that the Garda Ombudsman's Office last June published a report highlighting that this practice was taking place and drawing it to the attention of various people. Secondly, from that, it appears that they're arising from an ongoing case... which unfortunately was against a number of guards in that matter, that judicial proceedings arose from that, and it appeared that people began to question what was happening in these practices.
Okay.
Now, it's very important that the listeners understand what's happening. You cannot record conversations and store them if, you know, just willy-nilly. It doesn't happen. The interception of communications by sort of external parties to a two-way conversation is very, very tightly controlled. The fact that there was 2,400 tapes made from all over the country is going to become an issue with defence lawyers in the morning.
Yeah, and that's a point that's raised on the Irish Times as well, and you make that point, and we'll get into those points in just a moment. But Brian Sherry, just go back to the initial question raised by Micheál Martin in the Dáil. Should we wait until Thursday? Due process is very important. Should we give Alan Shatter time to get all the answers?
Well, I suppose no more than anyone else today. We're all shell-shocked by the events and the way they've all occurred. And I believe, and I've always believed in due process, and I believe that, yes, I think we should all step back and take a little time here to understand fully what is going on and to get our heads around everything that has been said here. I think the general public themselves are no more than myself and the panel here shell-shocked by what happened today. And I think, yes, I think honestly that Mr. Shatter should be given the opportunity to come into the Dáil.
Would you agree, Pádraig McLoughlin?
I think we have to look now at all of these episodes. Start with the penalty points, the way that the minister, 2 years after they were first reported to the Garda confidential recipient, finally, after a huge prevarication, decided to refer it to the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission. Of course, that was after the appearance of Commissioner Callanan in front of the Public Accounts Committee. Finally, after 2 years, repeated calls that it's... Then you have his response to the allegations of the bugging of the GSOC offices and how you handled that. It was pretty awful and continues to be awful. And then if you look at the actual sacking of the confidential recipient and then this latest debacle where he must have been aware or his department officials had to be aware of the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission report in June 2013 about the practices at the Waterford Garda Station. And, you know, if not, why not? I mean, that's referred to the Minister for Justice.
Okay,
so how can he not be aware of that? And how can we now be, you know, almost a year later with this revelation to the Irish people that these practices take place?
Well, let's try and crystallise that now with Susan O'Keefe, Senator with Labour. You can text us 51551. When did the government know about these practices?
Okay, well, first of all, both John and Pádraig are absolutely correct. There was a report done by the Garda Ombudsman's Commission that was published last July. It's on the website.
Last anybody, June, I think, yeah.
I beg your pardon, last June. Anyone can read it. And in that, they clearly talk about the recording that went on. Indeed, it goes as far as to say the Garda Commissioner may wish to reevaluate the practice regarding the recording of such calls and the consents required if it is to be permissible to use such recordings and evidence. So the Ombudsman was very clear about
that. So the government knew in June?
This report would have been passed to the Gardaí and would I assume, be passed to the Minister and his office. So
you're telling us the government knew in June, is that right?
Hang on. I'm saying that this report became public. I don't know who had their hands on it, but it is in the public domain since last June. I'm not denying that. It's clear. It's there. What I am saying is, in relation to waiting for the day, I don't know why we haven't known about this and why it hasn't become an issue until now. And like everybody else listening in tonight, I want to know the answer to that question. But unlike some other people, I am prepared to wait until Thursday because I wish the question to be answered correctly. And I want all of the questions to be answered as robustly as properly.
I think the real issue concerning Alan Chatter on these matters is that he parses statements very carefully and he is very disingenuous in what he says. He's a very strange relationship.
Well, he would absolutely deny that.
I'm sure he would.
Why do you say that, so?
Well, I say it because, I'm just thinking to the various matters I've been involved in the past year. He was given a report last year, for example, on collusion in a unit of the Guards colluding with a drug dealer up in County Louth. He received that and quietly brushed it under the carpet.
But all matters, put to Alan Shatter up until now, he would say that he has given a reasonable explanation as
he's
to why
he's given no explanation whatsoever. In fact, when the details came out that the Garda Ombudsman had went to such extraordinary lengths, following a threat from the Garda Commissioner that they believed they were under surveillance, but the Commissioner stated to them that he would use analysts to get to the bottom of information that was entering the public domain, Alan Shatter went in and told it all. There was nothing to see whatsoever. Turned out that the reports he'd been furnished with the day before had stated that that was government-level technology, etc., probably used in surveillance. And then furthermore went off and commissioned a report which he claimed, again, in the Dáil, stated that these had given entirely innocent explanations for what had happened. When he communicated to Padraig's committee there, it turned out, lo and behold, that they'd only offered, you know, ask double questions, really, to check whether, and he's refusing to comment
on
that.
Can I go back to the point of when the government knew about this and ask Susan O'Keefe, because there's a number of matters that I'd like your opinion on, but I'd like your opinion on, first of all, Susan. The consultation between Commissioner Callanan and the Attorney General apparently happened in November 2013, according to the letter sent by Martin Callanan to the AG, would you accept that? Is that correct?
Well, it appears, and I only just heard about this letter as we were coming on air, but there doesn't seem to be any doubt that such a letter exists, that it was written and that that has happened. So again, here we are. This is another question. So we have a June timeline from that report from the Ombudsman, and we have exchange of correspondence of some kind. We only know perhaps part of it. So, of course, we absolutely need answers. I don't know.
And just to refine it a little more, we have the November consultation. Then we have this letter from Martin Callanan to Alan Shatter explicitly 2.5 weeks ago.
Yes.
And I think the minister said he didn't receive that until last night. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know. Actually, I genuinely don't know what the minister, when he is said to have received it.
I think that's what he said this evening.
That may well be the case.
So is all of that credible, I wonder?
Well, here is the thing. We have the opportunity on Thursday to ask those questions, and it is very difficult to accept that kind of timeline. I'm not happy with that timeline as I hear it now.
Do you believe it? Is it credible?
Well,
the fact, and let me put it to you, just point after point. You yourself raised the GSOC report in June that was made public. Then there's the correspondence, the consultation between Martin Callanan and the AG in November, 4 or 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. Then there is a letter that was sent explicitly to the Minister for Justice 2.5 weeks ago, which he said this evening he didn't receive until last night. Mm-hmm. Now, I put it to you, is it credible? And should we wait until Thursday for answers?
Well, first of all, the last part of it, just knowing the way, and this may sound odd, correspondence goes in departments, It is entirely possible that a letter was stuck somewhere. But if you leave that aside, because that's not what you're asking me. You're asking me is the whole of the timeline. Certainly, I am not happy as a member.
But you're happy to wait until Thursday.
Yes, of course I am. Because at least then we will get what I may not be happy about is what the answers are. But what I am happy about is to wait till Thursday. And I'm assuming, and it may well be that if Alan Shatter comes out in the morning and says, well, look, I can clarify exactly where the letter went, or I can clarify, but I am prepared to give him 24 hours to tell me what happened.
Labour is willing to bat for the minister until Thursday. Is that not reasonable?
I think privately, if you speak to Labour backbenchers, they want rid of him. And I can't understand why he hasn't gone. But in terms of let's you know, this is a minister who we keep being reminded is incredibly reforming, is the hardest working minister since the history of ministers of all mankind, and he hasn't read a 5-page report from the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission last June. Sent to his department, sent to his office under statute. He hasn't read that 5-page report. And then we're supposed to believe that the Attorney General, who it's confirmed in that report from RTE, was consulted by the Garda Commissioner in November. And apparently these practices come to an end last November. That somehow, and remember the Attorney General is a member of Cabinet, is a member of government, that somehow the Minister for Justice and the government... The government were aware 6 months ago. So today the Irish public have been told, we've just discovered this outrageous scandal and we're going to have a commission of investigation. This is big stuff. But here's the twist. They actually knew 6 months ago.
Well, the commission for investigation also has to ask a whole series of questions, surely be to goodness, in relation to the Garda Síochána itself and its handling of the tapes and all of that. That is actually part
of
that investigation.
But is that not kicking the can down the road, as with all other scandals now involving Alan Shatter? Is this like a, you know...
Well, it's a very ugly can and it's not very far down the road. But it doesn't get away...
It's just this constant stream of allegations arising concerning... matters concerning Garda management. And again, I distinguish Garda management from rank and file officers because the Guards as an organisation thrives despite some of the leadership that are there. But you can't, you know, you're lucky, this is almost a weekly event with Alan Shatter. And I think, to be perfectly frank, I think the government, including Labour, are completely miscalculating the public feeling on this matter now. In terms of, I'm dealing with normal people who've no real interest in politics or anything like that, and they constantly would often, you know, approach me, maybe make remarks about Alan Shatter, etc., etc. And, you know, this just goes on and on and on and on, and it's one serious scandal after another.
Can I ask Brian Sherry regarding the government's credibility or the government's response in relation to when they knew of all of these allegations, the timeline from June to November to 2.5 weeks ago? What do you make of that?
Look, it'd be very wrong for me to make a comment on it because I don't honestly know. But what I would say is, look, he is given an undertaking to come into the Dáil on Thursday. That is going to give everybody a chance to get the full details, the full background, so that they can have their say and ask all the hard questions that are going to be necessary to ask. And perhaps if people wait for that little 48 hours, they will get the facts that they need to attack him. And he won't be able to sidestep any questions, the hard questions.
But we've had controversy following Alan Shatter for months now, if not chaos, some would say. Should we have to wait a number of more days before we get the answers? And also, I wonder, is the public's trust in An Garda Síochána being damaged as a result of all of this?
But that's where I want to come, and I'm glad you asked that question, because today, above all days, I really feel, and I heartfelt for the ordinary guards who are out there trying to do their job day in, day out, and are now being abused on the street by every criminal that's out there and every go-by and everyone else that's out there and being pilloried by everybody. And
why?
They have no respect.
Because of this? Because of
because
this?
Because of all of this that's going on. It's like a blanket blackness on top of the Garda Síochána who are out there doing their best day in, day out. And, like, I mean, it's not going away. You have politicians who are kickballing this around the place, making, you know, snide remarks at everybody and anybody that is moving, or anyone that becomes a target. You know, like, I mean, and that's the reality of it.
So are you blaming the opposition for asking snide questions, as you say?
I don't have a difficulty with politicians, but you heard that introduction there tonight, and did that do anyone any justice listening to that type of carry-on in our national Dáil today?
OK, well, let me ask you a direct question then. Who's to blame for the continuing controversy surrounding this issue?
Look, my own belief and my personal belief is this has been handled totally wrong from the very word. If people had hindsight and could go back and change things, I'm sure they would have. I'm sure Martin Callanan tonight is looking back and saying if he had hindsight, he would change probably some of the things that he said. You know, and perhaps for the reasons why he said it. But the reality of it is none of us are blessed with hindsight. Things happen and happen in the spur of a moment. But you say something, or you do something.
Were you glad, Brian Sherry, when Minister Leo Varadkar raised the issue of Martin Callanan correcting the Dáil record again and rehashing this again? Because it had gone quiet up until that moment.
Had it gone quiet? I honestly can't say that
relative,
it had gone. I didn't think it had gone relatively quiet. In fact, there are certain people at the table here who were keeping it well and truly lit. And in case it was dying down, in case the embers were dying down, there was more petrol being thrown on the fire every day.
So who's to blame then for maintaining the controversy or maintaining the chaos or keeping this in the public eye? Who's to blame for not putting it to bed?
Well, who do you blame? You blame the government of today for not putting it to bed. That's who you blame. They should have taken this by the scruff of the neck at the very beginning and dealt with it and made sure that it was properly answered. And all questions were properly answered, no matter who the minister was or no matter who the commissioner of the Garda Síochána O'Connor was. This was something that was going to have a very deep-rooted effect on the way policing is carried out in this country and the trust in the policing in this country and the damage that has been done to the police at this moment in time by politicians scoring points off each other is absolutely incredible.
Would you agree with that, John Mooney, that the police force is being damaged by this?
To a degree, yes. But I have to say, Garda management have played a leading role.
I'm not saying that they haven't. Yeah. There's fault everywhere. Yeah. And I absolutely agree with you.
It's just the fact that, like, my opinion on what's happening at the moment is quite clear, is that some senior counsel is after realising the import of these tapes and the potential that they have, and has alerted the DPP, and I'd say that has went around the various agencies that administer justice in this state, and that it eventually, when they probably got senior counsel opinion on it or something like that, realised that they have a rake of tapes that should have been disclosed maybe to various parties in various cases, and probably tonight don't fully know the extent of the damage that's actually done. What possible?
That's the problem, yeah, John. Yeah. And here we are tonight, and we're talking about something that nobody really knows the full extent.
True, Brian. But on the other hand, that you know, again, it's all very well to say that Alan Shatter should be given a position or an opportunity to come into the Dáil. The problem is that for the past year, every time Alan Shatter comes into the Dáil, it's like pulling a hen's teeth. You don't get the truth.
But
you
look, isn't the Dáil the arena for all the other politicians to have their questions ready for him?
Unfortunately,
and not to accept what he's saying. Either you have your ammunition or you don't have your ammunition.
The problem is that it's a kind of sad state of affairs, but many people in the Dáil, unfortunately, wouldn't understand the full processes of all of this, and that, you know, we have a kind of a democracy that the media play a role in this. And if the media are asking questions of Alan Shatter, if Alan Shatter was on the opposition benches at the moment, he would be screaming blood from the Justice Minister who was involved.
Susan O'Keefe, would you like to see Alan Shatter continue after Thursday as Minister for Justice?
Well, there has been, as John and others have said, there has been now a long list of things that there are major concerns about. And I very much hope that on Thursday the minister will come into the House, that he will correct the record in relation to the whistleblowers, and that we will get full answers in relation to this.
If that happens, you'd be happy that he would continue.
Yes.
But Susan, I don't understand this.
Well, if we get answers...
Let's hear John Mooney, then I'll bring in Padraig McLaughlin.
Come in and correct the record with two whistleblowers after standing on the plinth outside the Dáil and abusing them and making all sorts of allegations against them? Because that surely calls into question his judgment to begin with. He is now in an untenable position.
Whether the government would like to believe it or not.
But he can't.
Let's hear an answer.
Martin Callanan could issue an apology to them. It was never going to happen.
As I've said, I'm waiting till Thursday. I'm prepared to wait till Thursday. And
wait till Thursday for what?
Because I want to see what...
No, but in terms of correcting the Dáil, in terms of the statements he made about Maurice McCabe and John Wilson, that is... it's almost a farcical notion, for the simple reason is... If he apologises or if he corrects the record, it means that his judgment is wrong to begin with. He had to inspect
it. It means that he misinterpreted the statement, possibly.
Sorry, no, hang on. Well, Alan Shatter is a lawyer. We had a report initially by the Controller and Auditor General. Then we had a follow-up report, which he had since January, which stated that there was all these abuses within the penalty point system. I don't know anyone involved in all aspects of this who didn't say there was a problem with the penalty.
What's wrong, John? What's wrong with Alan Shatter coming into the Dáil on Thursday and saying, OK, I was wrong on that point,
and this is how I'm going to rectify. Because he previously admonished the two whistleblowers.
And apologise to them, if he does that.
But what does that say about his judgment as a Justice Minister? How can you have someone who is in charge of the Department of Justice, who's in charge of the security of the state, is in charge of the military and the police, being so foolish to make allegations
like saying
that.
There's no way back for him then, is that right?
I don't believe so.
Patrick McLoughlin, we haven't heard from you in a while. Would you be happy for him? You've already heard or called for Minister for Justice Alan Shatter to resign. What if he gives appropriate answers, makes the appropriate statements in the Dáil on Thursday? Would you change your mind?
It's as simple as this. The Garda confidential recipient, Oliver Connolly, has had to walk the plank. The Garda commissioner has walked the plank, and it's time for the Minister of Justice to walk the plank. And it's as simple as that in relation to this. I mean, we're talking about, you know, I mean, I agree. There are over 13,000 members of An Garda Síochána. The vast, vast majority of them have done no wrong. They're at the front line. They protect our communities. They're heroic in many instances out there. In my home county of Donegal, two members of An Garda Síochána lost their lives in the line of duty in recent years. You know, this is the and they're being failed by, you know, a clique, a cabal of some senior management. And if that issue was confronted rigorously from the start by the minister, instead of this unhealthily close relationship that he had, where he lost objectivity, we wouldn't have the crisis we have now. But what we need to see is, I believe, minister to walk the plank, and then let's get back to the business of addressing, you know, strengthening An Garda Síochána Ombudsman, putting in place, as a government have committed to now at last, an independent policing authority, independent policing board, because An Garda Síochána are uniquely close to communities. If you look at, you know, I'll speak personally, I played football with them, I was served on community group committees with them, right up to county-wide committees with them. You know, these are people of upstanding character in the vast majority of cases, and they're being failed by a Minister for Justice and by a handful, a cabal at the very, very top.
But there
to
is nothing wrong with him if he gives the appropriate answers on Thursday, according to Susan O'Keefe. But it raises the question, Susan O'Keefe, even if he does give questions that will satisfy Labour on Thursday, is he really the man to push reform? Does he have the public trust? Does he have the trust of An Garda Síochána, all of the 13,000 members in the country?
Well, certainly the idea of an independent policing authority has been something that, you know, ministers, current ministers in the Labour Party pushed for in opposition. It's been part of Labour Party policy actually for a long time. And indeed, I was one of the signatories to a letter calling for this to be set up last week. I am very pleased that in the middle of this, the government has committed to this. It is a piece of reform. It's probably the biggest piece of reform that will have come in. We've had the Garda Ombudsman. We know what the weaknesses are.
Notwithstanding all of that.
And it is very important.
And you asked me whether or not he might be a reforming minister. Yeah, the question I did ask
of
you,
that is a piece of reform,
was not the watchdog that would watch over him. The question was about the minister himself and if he had the trust of the force and the public to reform.
Well, if you can start off with this big piece of reform, and if, as a member of cabinet, as he currently is, this minister, he has agreed to this, he has agreed, obviously, as part of cabinet today, that the next Garda commissioner will not be appointed, as was the policy in the past, but will be appointed through open competition.
They're pieces of reform. Are you not giving him conditional support then? Yes, Labour supports him. Yes, Susan O'Keefe supports him to reform, as long as there's a big bad watchdog looking over him.
No, but the independent policing authority doesn't look over the shoulder of the minister. The independent policing authority is there to be the authority for the police, not for the minister. It takes away the cosiness. It takes away the relationship. It takes away some of the responsibility that if you look at any minister for justice, whoever he or she may have been or might be, has a huge responsibility to the men and women of the police force, along with being a legislator. It is actually one of the most difficult jobs in the state. I don't think anybody would argue.
You're describing something as responsibility. It's actually power. I work with Garda management.
But it's also a responsibility, John.
Yes, but...
Don't Susan, forget that.
Yes, but Susan, hold on a moment. The issue concerning Alan Shatter's relationship with the force is number one. He is an individual who has quite openly abused his position with the force. He was supplied with information about Mick Wallace, for example, information that should never even be known to a Garda commissioner. And yet we had the almost bizarre situation where Alan Shatter felt confident enough to wander in to a studio a couple of hundred yards from here and announce on primetime television that Mick Wallace had been stopped by a patrol down in the north inner city. And no one sort of, in any other functioning democracy, both him and Martin Callanan would have went the following morning. That would never happen in the UK. And well, you know it. And I'm not having a go at you personally, but there is disaster after disaster and scandal after scandal in relation to this individual. Martin Callanan went, in my opinion, he should never have that position in the first place. He was the subject of an ongoing investigation by GSOC when he was actually promoted. But yet we have a justice minister that has allegedly the full support of the Labour Party, involved in what could only be described as the most outrageous abuse of power. And yet Labour and people like yourself have given them their full confidence. Like, I find
it
hard to particularly you.
Give her a chance to respond and then I'll get to Brian Sherry.
That you would support that kind of activity.
Well, I think, you know, I do. I have said I find it very difficult. I find the series of events that we have been through difficult. And I've said I am prepared to wait until Thursday.
No, but in the sort of statements that he's given, you're on the petitions committee. You know full well what the statements that he gave to the Dáilsigh, for example, on the surveillance allegations. You saw the response that eventually came in on this famous report that he commissioned. You know what happened with Mick Wallace. I mean, that's an absolutely outrageous abuse of power. If that was a young guard, they can be sacked and brought to court for it.
Let her respond.
Well, as I say, it's been a difficult time.
What does a difficult time
yeah, well,
mean?
Hang on. You've had your...
Yeah, I'm not
share
having a go with you.
Give her a chance. Give her a chance.
Well, and I'm saying, I want to see now what... There have been numerous allegations. There have been numerous challenges. Let the minister come in on Thursday. As far as I'm concerned, this is, if you like... another piece of a story that's completely unexpected, that there is a timeline that I can very clearly see, because in some of the other stories, there isn't such a clear timeline. I'm not happy with this timeline. I'm not happy with this as it has unfolded. I want to hear and come back and ask
okay,
me on Thursday.
OK, I'll get to Porrick in a second.
Thursday,
Brian Sherry.
But I'm not happy.
OK, my own personal view is I would welcome a police authority. And I think it's time now that... politics was taken out of the police force, out of the Garda Síochána. Mm-hmm. Get politics out of the Garda Síochána. It's long overdue. You need a buffer between the politicians and the Garda Síochána. The commissioner must report to the Minister for Justice, obviously for various obvious reasons, because of the security of the state, etc. And anything that is threatening the state or anything like that, that needs to be there, and there's no doubt about that. That needs to be channelled. But the Garda body itself needs a complete buffer. And the way to do that is to get a police authority in who oversees the operational work of the Garda Síochána. They report back through that. They're questioned and are answerable to that police authority. And I can tell you here and now, there isn't a man or woman in the Garda Síochána today that would disagree with that.
Is there a protocol surrounding the relationship between the Commissioner and the Minister for Justice?
There's a protocol there that he must report of any threat to this nation from either terrorists, subversives or external forces or any other interference with the running and the safety of this country and the safety of the people in this country. He must report to him.
What did you make of the relationship between Alan Shatter and Martin Callanan?
people say that there was a very, very close relationship there. They may well have had a close relationship. It's difficult to actually say. I wouldn't say they were drinking buddies or anything like that, but they definitely did seem to appear to have a good close relationship,
a good working relationship.
Perhaps, maybe, I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of it, so it would be very wrong of me to comment on it. People say that they had. Personally speaking, as I said to you, a Garda commissioner must report to the commissioner or must report to the Minister for Justice on certain issues that affect the country and affect the safety and security of this country and the people of this country.
John earlier on was saying that Martin Callanan shouldn't have been in that position in the first place, but you were very supportive of him earlier today, I think. And
yeah.
You said he's a victim, I think, of political game playing.
He's caught up in the middle of point scoring here between various different political parties, and there's absolutely no doubt about that. Martin Callanan was a Garda in the Garda Síochána for 40 odd years. Myself, I spent 36 years in the police. He spent 40 years. He served the people of Ireland. Whether he served them in the history is going to dictate what way Martin Callanan is viewed in this. I feel sorry for Martin Callanan tonight and for his family and for his elderly mother and his relatives and friends for the way that man had to retire out of the Garda Síochána. You know, that he couldn't find himself, he found himself there in a predicament that he felt it was best for on Garda Síochána. And I've no doubt that was the main purpose of the reason for his resignation.
So you feel...
take away the lime or the spotlight on the Gardaí and let them get on with their job.
So you feel, because of political game playing then, that the force has lost a good man?
I believe that Martin Callanan was a good man, yes. Whether he was involved in any of the things that our people are saying that he was, I don't know.
Pádraic McLoughlin, what's your response to that?
Well, he did serve the Garda Síochána and the state for over 40 years. I've no doubt for the vast majority of that period it was an honourable record. But when it came to the more recent phase of his career, there are a whole range of questions about how he presided. I mean, for example, if you look at the Comptroller and Auditor General report, they found that 1 in 5 motorists facing road traffic offences were getting off. Half of all summonses were not being served. Then if you look at the Garda Inspectorate report, it's a damning indictment of the management systems around this critical area of penalty points. And it was clear that there wasn't one law for everybody there. So there are serious questions. On a personal level, you sympathise with his family, but I am also mindful of the families of Garda John Wilson, former Garda John Wilson, and Sergeant Morris McCabe, because those comments were profoundly hurtful to those families. I know that. I've spoken to particularly the Wilson family. They were deeply hurt by them. And they were very strong comments, disgusting for people who'd... Remember that the both Gardaí have served the state for over 30 years, given a very proud service to the state. So that was wrong also. And the fact that he could not withdraw those comments and apologise for them has meant that he had to resign, and that's the reality.
Do you think, if I can come in there now, Brian Sherry, yeah.
I have equally sympathy for the families of the two Garda Wilson and Sergeant McCabe's family as well, who innocently have got caught up in this and are suffering as a result of this. Again, what I will say to you is, the difference in this is Martin Callanan's family didn't ask for this, or didn't put themselves up for this.
I don't understand what you mean.
What I'm trying
What's
to say
point
to you
is... What's the point of having whistleblowers? Hold on, Pádraic.
What I'm saying to you is Garda Wilson and Sergeant McCabe put themselves forward as whistleblowers, and then when they weren't satisfied with what they were getting, they then went to politicians, etc., etc.
Which is
their right under the law, and I don't take that away. But they put themselves into that position. Martin Callanan's family didn't put themselves into
can
that.
Can I just respond to this?
I have to respond to this.
I mean, let's speak very clear about this. There were two members of Garda Síochána who discovered considerable wrongdoing in terms of the way penalty points was administered. They have been absolutely vindicated by the Comptroller and Auditor General and the Garda Inspectors. No doubt about that. When they erased it through the Garda Confidential Recipient, for months and months they had no response. They were very, very concerned about that. They then took their concerns to the Comptroller and Auditor General, to the Road Safety Authority, to the Taoiseach, to the Department of Transport, to the Minister for Transport. And it's interesting, the Minister of Transport has also endorsed what they have done. And then after all of that, they then went to Deputy Claire Daly, which was their right under the law. And that's how those matters then have progressed. But I think, you know,
can
I think
can
we have to say that...
get clarity on your point. What are you saying? Are you saying that it's OK... What are you saying then?
What I'm saying is that
the
families of Garda Wilson and Sergeant McCabe have been greatly offended by all of this... allegations that have come out, and they have suffered, as have Garda Wilson and Sergeant McCabe suffered as well. I fully accept that. I mightn't have exactly come across as what I wanted to say, but you see, what I'm trying to say is they put themselves out there for that type of...
And what's wrong with that?
Not what I'm saying is when they put themselves out there, they put themselves up in front of everybody. So that they knew, like I mean, that you know that there was going to be, how would you say, upset for their families and everyone else.
For the public good.
For the public, yeah, if necessary, for
and
the public
should they
good.
Not be protected then?
Of course they should be protected. And they aren't.
Was the Commissioner then wrong in using the word disgusting in relation to their practice? Or
I mentioned that word already today, and I feel like, I mean, yes, I accept that the Commissioner was wrong. Hindsight is a marvellous thing. And if you say something like, I mean, you meant it. I've known Martin Callan for years, and I think I know the context in which he meant that word that he used. I'm not going to go into it here tonight, but for want of a better word, I would say he was wrong in using that word, and he you know, hindsight's a marvellous thing. I think he should have withdrawn it, and I say that here now. I think he should have withdrawn it. I think that...
But you seem to be saying this evening, and sometimes people, when they discuss in Garda Síochána, they say, well, they're protective of their own. So if somebody steps out of line, like the whistleblowers, it's almost as if you're saying this evening, well, tough, ye brought it on yourselves.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, in their own right, both Garda Wilson and Sergeant McCabe brought these issues to the attention of the right people to try and get things done when they weren't getting satisfaction at the way it was being dealt with within the force or within the system that they went through. What I'm saying to you is they were aware, like I mean, that this could draw attention on to them and the consequences of it could draw attention to them and their family. I'm not saying that that it's justified or anything like that.
Can I ask you something
else? I feel
else.
For those
Absolutely.
People.
I understand. Can I ask you something else? It's very, very difficult to get to the bottom of, Brian Sherry, in relation to these the taping and the recording of phone calls in Garda stations throughout the country. Who knew about that in Garda Síochána?
That's one of the things that I actually refer to there tonight, like when people are shell-shocked. I was aware, as a serving Garda, you know, for 36 years, like, I mean, that all 999 emergency calls were recorded. And to the best of my knowledge, that was the calls that were being recorded. I was not aware and never was aware of any other calls being recorded. Unless through due process. In other words, if you went through a court and got a warrant to do it.
But not automatically. Do you think the Commissioner was aware?
I honestly don't know. That's a question that will have to be asked of the Commissioner. Well,
and do you think the Minister was aware?
He can't answer it now as a Commissioner.
Do you think the Minister was aware?
Again, there are questions that the Minister will have to answer. Like, I mean, I can tell you here now that the ordinary guard on the street would not have been aware of anything like that.
But this I find, bamboozling. Because this is a practice that was seemingly automatic, but nobody knew of it.
Well, this is the interesting thing. Someone had to know about it.
But that's the point.
The people who installed the system would have to have known it.
But that could be 30 years ago. You're talking
about
telecom.
Well, the system was changed apparently in 2008. So there was a previous system, and that was changed, and there were three systems actually, and
John Mooney, who knows. Was aware.
I would imagine that senior Gardaí in every division knew. I have to say, I think probably I could known the way the guards operate, and some of the characters involved. I would say whether that was used properly or misused really would depend on the division, because I think there's some chief superintendents are so busy within their districts, that the thoughts of checking tapes or anything like that would never even cross their mind. And I think possibly there are other types of individuals who would be very, very keen on listening to a conversation with a solicitor.
And that's an important
like that.
Point. Yeah. But who knew about the practice is extremely important, because this evening we have an interim commissioner, Noreen O'Sullivan, who is the deputy. Do you think she knew?
I don't know.
What do you think, Brian?
I honestly don't know, but I can tell you one thing. If my conversations were being taped, I'd be very worried at this stage.
Well, is anyone...
And I'd say that honestly.
I understand. okay. Is anyone disquieted by the fact that an interim commissioner has been appointed, the deputy, Noreen O'Sullivan, who may have been aware about this, appointed
by
Noreen
O'Sullivan was in charge. She is in charge of crime and security. Yeah. Which is the state's spying agency. But in saying that, you've got to understand the way Garda headquarters is structured. Sometimes the person who is leading the department might be the last one to know. It could be at an inspector level or something like that. I think, though, I think it's very, very important to segregate the two issues. You have also, obviously, on the one point, who knew what within the guards. And, for example, that system would have to be serviced. It would have to be, the tapes changed. I believe they're DAT tapes or something like that. So that's one issue. The second issue is for the government and the chain of command and in Garda headquarters, that when this issue was flagged last June by the Garda Ombudsman, what action was taken? And they're two very, very separate issues.
Pádraic McLoughlin, what do you have to say about who knew and how important that is, really, and what use was made of the data as well?
It seems implausible that you would have a huge number of tapes out there and that somebody, you have to imagine the Garda Commissioner, senior Garda management, at HQ must have been aware of this. And this is a massive issue because this goes right to the core of our democratic system, the right to privilege between the client and the solicitor. Any suggestion that that has been impeded upon or spied upon is very, very profound for our administration of justice. So, I welcome the fact that it's absolutely necessary to have a commission of investigation. But I agree with John, is that what we do know for sure, because that's informed speculation, what we know for sure is that GSOC reported on this last June. That would have been brought to the attention of the Garda Commissioner and to government. And then, of course, for definite in November, the AG has been briefed on it. So I just don't understand why today we have this news breaking, in the way that it did, that we've just uncovered this major issue. And remember, there's no commission of investigation around the allegations that the GSOC offices were bugged. No commission of investigation. It's a review. There's no commission of investigation around the legacy allegations from Sergeant Maurice McCabe that Micheál Martin passed over to the Taoiseach. Again, that's a review by a senior counsel. But straight away, they've gone for a commission of investigation. So this is a big deal. And and why today?
Susan, why today?
Yeah, I don't know. What I would say is I am puzzled that if the Garda Commissioner was, given the GSOC report in June that said very clearly, you may want to reevaluate this practice, that it didn't stop until a date in November. And it appears to have been stopped by the Garda Commissioner. I'm not entirely sure of that, but that appears to be the story. But at the very least, he was, if you like, advised. And this wasn't the first time that the Garda Commissioner ignored advice from the Garda Ombudsman. So again, if you have an ombudsman, if they give advice, then in a new regime, one would hope that if a Garda Ombudsman gives advice to the Commissioner, it would be taken.
John?
Well, the problem is that this particular minister and past Commissioner didn't really listen to any advice from the Garda Ombudsman. And this brings...
Well, that has to change.
Well,
well, it has to.
I wouldn't hold my breath, but particularly under this government. But you're also into a situation that, and again, this all goes back to the whole technical reach of modern telecommunications, that there is no proper scrutiny in this country of covert policing, or this type of activity, for want of better words. For example, we saw a report released last week by the Data Protection Commissioner. I was amazed at listening to Martin Callanan releasing the statement saying he was delighted to see that they had stated that everything was above order. If anyone who read the report would have pointed out, as we did in the Sunday Times last week, was that there was phone warrants for records, etc., being illegally assessed, and the paperwork being filled out after they'd actually got the matter.
This brings me to another relevant question. Is this, with the resignation of Martin Callanan today, John, will that be the end of the matter, especially if Alan Shatter answers the questions as Susan O'Keefe wants on Thursday? Or is it a more endemic cultural problem within An Garda Síochána?
I'm reluctant to say there's a problem, a huge problem within An Garda Síochána, because this type of activity only affects a very small group of people within the organisation. I think Martin Callanan was probably the wrong person for the job. He was subject of an investigation when he was appointed, and when he was promoted, he was suddenly outside the scope of sort of action by the Garda Ombudsman at the time.
I understand what you're saying about practice in relation to these practices, but the culture that would allow it to permeate the whole
I'm saying this as someone who has relied on the guards. Count Brian Sherry is one of my best friends. But there are elements of the guards that the law doesn't apply to them. They'll do whatever they want, and they're involved in all sorts of activity.
Brian Sherry, a culture or personnel problem?
It's certainly not a culture anyway, I can tell you that. Personnel problem? Possible. You know, and I am worried about it, you know, and I say that in all honesty. If people have been doing something that they shouldn't have been doing, it reflects on everyone that's there. And like, I mean, it's like, you know, where do you stop, or who do you call, or who do you blame, you know? But if there was people there that was involved in this type of thing, and either legally or illegally, you know, and people knew about it, well, then we have a serious problem.
Susan, you want to get in?
Well, yes, because John was saying there that he wouldn't be holding his breath for reform of the Ombudsman, not under this government anyway. I mean, the programme for government did not include a promise for an independent policing authority, and yet now we are going to have one. And so, yes, there are things that need to be sorted out. Yes, there are things... I'm sorry, Susan, have to concede that.
Alan Shatter has a report at the moment outlining how a group of guards colluded with an international drug trafficker and set up young lads. There's a young lad, we've done numerous stories on this, serving 10 years in prison after being sold heroin by someone who was working for the guards while the guards were watching this going on. Alan Shatter has never done anything, full stop, to combat this sort of activity.
Okay, let her answer that.
Well, I don't know that story. All I was just pointing out that there are
documentaries. I'm
not saying I disagree with you. I just say I don't know the story.
But listen to what you've just said. You said I don't disagree. Just think about that as a concept. We've a justice minister who sits on the most damning reports of concerning criminality and or abuse and malpractice by members of the guards. Brian knows well what I'm referring to, and nothing happens. Full stop.
Okay, give her a chance to respond.
Yeah. I'm saying that one of the things that has changed and will change, that should change the face of policing in Ireland, will be an independent policing authority.
These people are still in the guards.
Pádraig McGlough.
Yeah, can I just say that there was a debate because, the last number of years have been so many issues around the handling of policing by this minister. There was a big debate last year in the Dáil around all of this, a private members debate, and it was put, and I was one of those who spoke and put it to the minister for an independent policing authority, and indeed the Garda Representative Association have long campaigned for this independent policing authority to remove the politics from it. And the minister flat rejected it, So he's been dragged kicking and screaming, as he has on everything. Like, let's go through, just quickly go through it. GSOC, referring the penalty points after 2 years, finally to GSOC. He rejected that every step of the way, dragged over the line. The issue of the allegations of GSOC bugging, ruled out an independent inquiry, kept ruling it out, finally dragged over the line. The issue of the, you know, the reports that were given to the Taoiseach, you know, rejected an independent examination. Now there will be an independent examination, a review, and then in terms of this issue of the independent policing authority. So, and then unfortunately, and I, this is where I am critical of the Labour Party, it took Leo Varadkar to say what needed to be said in recent weeks.
But Susan O'Keefe, Labour is standing shoulder to shoulder with Alan Shatter on this one. Are you not afraid that Labour as a party will take a hammering?
Well, that may happen. Yes, that may happen.
That's an astounding assertion or astounding answer from a Labour senator on this issue. That this may happen, it may be the result of your actions, but you seem happy enough to do that.
Well, I thought I'd made my position clear here this evening that I am not happy, that there have been a series of events that I have said that I'm waiting till Thursday. I have said I am not happy. I'm not happy.
But you're not happy, but you're not acting on it.
Well, I've said that I'm going to wait till Thursday, and I've said, let's hear what the minister has to say.
This controversy has rumbled on for months now. The cancellation of penalty points, the bugging of GSOC offices, treatment of Gorda whistleblowers, due process within internal investigations within Gorda Síochána, and the lack of cooperation with GSOC. It's gone on for years, some of these cases. But Labour is willing to stand with Minister Alan Shatter.
Well,
some of your reporters may be screaming at the radio and asking you why.
Well, the Taoiseach did say yesterday he was looking for clarification, as have other Labour ministers have asked the Minister for clarification, Minister Shatter, that is, and the Minister has said he will come to the House on Thursday.
How much controversy can Labour put up with?
Well, I would like to believe we're not going to have any more controversy.
You've had it for months.
Well, I've just given you the answer. I've said I would like to believe we're not going to put up with any more.
Padraig McLoughlin, this must be music to Sinn Féin's ears, because the longer this goes on, I assume the longer Sinn Féin is happy about it, because you will profit at the expense of Labour.
See, it's sort of bigger than that, because political parties come and go and political parties' opinion poll ratings go up and down. But there is a reality that the Labour Party have had a long tradition of people, you know, who advocate human rights and NGOs. And you see across the city, you know, almost every major human rights organisation have Labour Party members within it. And I think they've made a massive mistake in standing by this minister for far too long. I was encouraged by some of the messages coming from their ministers this week, but they need to call for his head. It's simple as that.
We'll leave the last word to one of our listeners. Donal Healy by text says, Michael Noonan on Primetime said that Minister Shatter didn't get the content of the letter dated March the 10th as he was out of the country for St. Patrick's Day. We are asked to believe that such a grave matter previously flagged 4 months ago wasn't relayed to the minister until yesterday. Beggar's belief, he says. My thanks this evening to the panel, Labour Senator Susan O'Keefe, Padraig McLoughlin, TD with Sinn Féin, Brian Sherry, former detective inspector, and John Mooney, security correspondent with the Sunday Times.